dig thyself from the dust. What does the dust mean? The dust represents the earth, the world. Dig yourself from the world. That's what it's saying here. And arise, okay? And sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. Things that are having strongholds on you. Those demons that are keeping you focused in your everyday lives and chaos and all the drama surrounding your family and your friends and your circumstances, your living circumstances, whatever they may be. That's like a noose around your neck. You need to take that battle that is raging against you, okay? The demons that are raging against you, you need to take that, fuel it, and send it to the gate of the supernatural and get involved spiritually. Prison is the world, people. Prison is your own world. Your own world is your prison. Look around you, everything. None of it matters. You get it? It doesn't matter. It's just stuck. What matters is what's happening right now in the supernatural. And what matters is if you're engaging or not. Or are you bunkered down with all the stuff in your life? Go forth, get up, get off your spiritual laziness, and get activated.
Deprogram yourselves from religious dogma. Religion is poison, people. Welcome to the End Time Report with Val Villano, right here on Holy Living Ministry. All right, welcome everybody. This is Val Villano, and we have an awesome show ready for you tonight. I have with us tonight Stan Madrick from DemonBuster.com. Many of you may know his website, very popular. I've actually been studying at it for quite a few years now, a few years. And let's give a big welcome to Stan. Stan, how you doing tonight?
All right. And my wife Elizabeth is on listening to us also.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Awesome. Well, listen, as you guys know, this is going to be free-flowing. We're going to discuss all kinds of heavy stuff. So we're going to get into prayer for a hedge of protection before we get into the darker spiritual matters that we're going to discuss tonight. But before that, just so you know, you can call in at any time if you have a question for myself or our special guests, Stan and Elizabeth. And as you know, the number is 646-595-4110, Stan. So let's go ahead. I'll let you lead off in prayer, and we'll go ahead and get started.
Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, I cover us and everyone listening with the blood of Jesus. I ask for giant warrior angels to protect us. I break and return any and all evil of any kind being sent our way during the show or after the show or tomorrow or whenever. I'll return it to the sender in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Lord, that just whoever's going to be listening to this program now or later, that they'll have their eyes open. I blind up all the demons that would cause them to want to turn off the program or not listen or not to accept the things that we're going to be speaking about tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, so let's go ahead and just get a little bit of background with you guys and kind of tell us how you got started with becoming so knowledgeable in spiritual warfare and what you have to say about that, and then we'll go ahead and start getting into some really good stuff here.
Okay, well, you don't volunteer to get into this this kind of ministry, but we've been in this ministry now for almost 25 years, and prior to that, we believed, like most Christians, that Christians cannot have demons. And of course, after learning about it and actually having demons cast out of me, that sure changed my mind. And Elizabeth had already been involved in deliverance for a little while when we met. And we started casting demons out that same month that this church was going to in Mississippi. And we used to have them lined up at the door when we first got started, people wanting deliverance. And we was in the newspaper and radio, and then we found out things that most people don't know when you first get started, I guess, which is part of what our ministry is to let people know what to expect. And what we did not know is that the devil will send people your way just to wear you out, use up all your time, and the people that the devil sends, they don't get any help anyhow. And so so we learned from another deliverance ministry that is around a whole lot longer than us, Gene Moody. By the way, his half of our website, his material is on there, Gene and Early and Moody. And Gene said, what you need to pray is that you pray only the people that come for help, or now it's email mostly and telephone calls, you only want the people that God sends. And we went down almost hardly nothing with people wanting help. So that was good. So that's a good lesson, that, you know, because everybody wants to help everybody. But you
right.
can't help everybody. Jesus said the poor will be with you always. And so you can't feed every person that you run into, or give a $5 bill to everybody standing on the corner. You just can't.
Right.
So you
right.
give to who God directs you to. And so that was one thing. So we went on for years doing that. And then it just dawned on me one day, I guess it was the Bible scripture just popped out, that if a person goes through deliverance and they don't keep all their nooks and crannies clean, Jesus says that person is going to get seven more wicked demons, more wicked than the ones that were cast out. So that was a revelation to me, even though it's always been in the Bible. And so I don't help anybody with deliverance unless they're willing to start doing daily deliverance every day for the rest of their life. And you have to do that because there's just so many demons. You can get demons over the telephone. You can get demons walking down the street. You can go into the grocery store or visit your friends or whatever. And you can, church especially, there's more demons in church than in a bar. and that's because
Amen.
Most Christians don't believe they have Christians. I'm sorry.
Right.
Don't have demons. And
right.
So anyhow,
and that's
so,
interesting. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I'll just keep talking. So you'll need to interrupt me. I need to get Elizabeth to talk to give my voice a rest here. But because I just get so excited when I'm trying to relay information to people, and I have a tendency to jump all over the place with different subjects, which is, I like that idea, but. I need to take notes to remember what we was talking about at the time, so we get back to the subject in case I get a new subject that pops up in my head that I want to mention.
Right.
So everybody needs to be doing self deliverance. It's just that simple. And spiritual warfare. And praying, of course, we should pray. Now, prayer is us asking Jesus to do something. Oh Lord, remove this headache from me. That's prayer. Spiritual warfare is you doing something in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command this headache to leave me right now. There's a big difference. And it's the name of Jesus that does everything. You know, we have no power on our own, but every Christian, every single believer, from the instant he gets saved, is commanded to cast out demons. Mark 16:17, those that believe shall cast out demons.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
mean 5 years down the road when they're more knowledgeable. Doesn't mean they got to do more research. Doesn't mean that they got to be anointed or anything. Those that believe is those that believe. And all a person lacks is the knowledge. And our website, which has got over 300 articles and over 4,000 pages, if you were to print it all, is to give you the knowledge that you may not have. And, of course, you can't read it only. Demonology is a term that is used for people who study demons, but they don't do any deliverance. So we
now,
don't do demonology.
I have a question because I went through an experience, and this was probably five or six years ago, and I'd gone through an experience where I was studying really heavy into the demonology. I actually studied from your website and a few others. And I started becoming under demonic attack. And what I was doing was I wasn't balancing it with the Word of God. I was just in the dark stuff. And so that actually attracted the demonic to me, and I had to do casting and everything. And I had gotten this, I talked to a brother, and he said, yeah, well, how much are you studying the Word of God compared to, the demonology? And I said, very little. I'm just focused on that. And he says, well, there's your problem. So was he right? Because it seems like I was relieved, and I did have a successful deliverance after that. But so I always try to caution people with when they get into studying the darker side of spiritual matters to, like, right at the beginning of our show, pray and put a hedge of protection around you, and always balance it with the Word of God. What would you say?
I've got the answer, but Elizabeth has an answer too.
Okay, great.
One of the things is that, as a Christian, put it like this, as a Christian, you wouldn't go into a bar and try to get people saved unless the Lord told you specifically to go there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like miracles. We have miracles and then we have healings, and, you could be instantly healed, a miracle, or that kind of thing. So as far as the demonic, if you go off into that place where you're just studying witchcraft just to know how it's done or whatever, if you're studying things on the internet and opening web pages, unless the Lord tells you to do that, then you're just opening the door for that attack. And
mm-hmm.
because you're not in the will of God for you at that point. And so that's right as far as what he told you, because you weren't
mm-hmm.
in the Word enough, and you were doing all of this and leaving that part out. So it's just something that people have to be very careful with, of getting out in that area to open the doors for things to attack them. So that's just kind of how I feel about it.
And my answer is, well, what the guy told you and what Elizabeth said is right, but the biggest reason is anytime you're reading, studying about deliverance, in particular spiritual warfare, demons, now this is based on fact, okay? And every time I get an email from a new person, I tell them this. If you are just learning about deliverance, then the demons will do everything possible to stop you from researching more or doing deliverance or praying more or whatever. So when you were checking out all these things, the demons were doing what they do to everybody, is they attack you to try and get you to stop. When when we first got started there, just over 24 years ago, December was 24 years. And we had more experiences, I think, in our first couple of years than we had in the last 10. But we had one woman came. We used to have services in our home 3 times a week. And this one woman came. I think she had 4 children, young children. And they was getting help, and she stopped coming. And, we don't call people up and say, well, you weren't here last week. What happened to you? But we know what the demons do. And she mm-hmm. told us that she stopped coming because the devil told her that if she came back, the devil was going to kill her children. Now that that stopped her, and of course that stopped the kids from getting help. And so when anybody's listening, if you're learning about this for the first time, or you don't have a lot of knowledge, then that's what they do. But see, the more deliverance you do, the more spiritual warfare you do, you're showing those demons that you are serious, and they will back off. But when you first get started, they will do everything to stop you. And especially if you're married and one of the spouses is not doing deliverance, the other spouse, their demons, will attack you in every way. We've had, I know of two marriages where the woman, for some reason, there's more women that do deliverance than men in a marriage. And I had two women that had contacted me, and they were doing deliverance, and the husband, the one woman, the husband had to try to get his wife committed, saying that she was nuts, doing all this uh-huh. deliverance stuff and every day. Finally, they wound up, they got divorced, and she was not even allowed to see her children. Now, this was her husband who well, you know, they all claim to be saved, but you know, most people that claim to be saved are not saved based on their actions, the way they live and everything and talk. And so if you're married, you have a tough job to do. You've got extra spiritual warfare to do. You bind up all the demons in the spouse that's not doing deliverance. And your children, even especially teenagers, a lot of, you know, rebellion and everything with teenagers. And you cannot cast demons out of anybody unless they are saved and they want deliverance. And you need to ensure that they're going to continue every day for the rest of their life.
Right. We have a question for you in the chat room. One of our listeners asks, and this is from Mike. He asks, I have a family member who laughs hysterically when we say grace as a family. Is that demonic?
Yes, that would be a mocking demon. And now what Mike can do is, if you're going to be sitting at the table again and this happens, you don't even have to say it out loud. But if you want to, you can say it out loud. Are people in the chat room able to listen to us?
Yeah, they're listening live.
Oh, okay. Yep. If you're sitting at the, you can say it out loud. Now, depending on your age and if he's your dad or somebody, you know, you don't want to stand up and point your finger at him and say, and in the name of Jesus, I bind up all your demons. You might get in trouble there. But you can, under your breath or just thinking the words, look him in the eye and say, in Jesus' name, I bind up all your laughing demons. And watch what happens. Now, now I say that, and people say, well, demons can't read your thoughts. Oh, yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
They certainly can. And while I'm on that subject about reading your thoughts, we get a lot of contact from people who, I got one just last week with this subject here, was in her bed and was frozen in her bed. And this is normal, too. Demons, I don't know, they just like doing this. They'll freak. You cannot move. You are stuck in your bed. And
I've had that happen.
And what I tell them is, if you can't talk even, usually, but you
no.
can think. And if you just think the name Jesus, you will be released, and that demon will leave. Now, that's an outside demon. That's not one that's inside of you causing this. And that happened to me personally way back when, and that proved to me that demons can, in fact, read your thoughts or hear your thoughts.
No, you just said something that I know is going to come up. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
that's right.
Could you briefly explain the difference between possession and oppression?
Yeah,
because there's a lot of confusion there with a lot of people.
Well, it ain't confusion, it's false teaching.
Okay.
Oppression is a term that has always been taught, and I was taught this way back when. I was raised Catholic, and then I got saved when I was 27, and then I guess I was going to, like, Assembly of God-type churches and Pentecostal churches, and then I learned about deliverance, and you can't do all that other stuff because they don't believe that they've got demons. But anyhow, oppression is a word that means the demons are on the outside. Now, there are demons on the outside. But Jesus said, those that believe shall cast out, O-U-T, cast out demons. Well, for you to cast them out, they have to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So oppression, when they say, yo, well, I was oppressed to the devil. No, what, now you may have been, but you also got demons. And it's, you know, so that's very bad teaching there. But that's, you know, we've all been taught the same stuff over and over. It's like, we've all been taught, oh, just plead the blood. And we've all said it many, many times over our years. And we stopped saying that because it's not in the Bible. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't do stuff because it's not in the Bible. But
right.
if it's possible to be more correct, it's better to be more correct. And the word plead, as we've all used, is a legal term that means to beg. And
right.
we don't need to beg the blood of Jesus on us. Okay, so we mostly say cover. That's in the Bible. cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, or sprinkle, or pour. There's two other words. There's a total of five words in the Bible that have to do with the blood. But cover is the one that we use just about all the time.
Yeah.
And one of
go ahead, Elizabeth.
Okay. One of the things that really confuse Christians is, how can a Christian have a demon? Okay,
right.
We're body, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And so Jesus resides in, the Holy Spirit resides in our spirit. They can't get in there, but they can wrap around your spirit man and keep you from being able to pray or go teach or whatever the Lord wants you to do. And then you have your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. You know, you have a bad temper, you have trouble with fear, lust, anything that's in that area of your mind, will, and emotions, anxiety, addictions, just everything that you can think of that people have problems with, that's where they reside, that's where they are, in your soulish realm. And then they manifest in our body, like bitterness and hate and anger and unforgiveness, can manifest in your body as cancer or arthritis or high blood pressure, just several things there. So that's how Christians, in fact, can have demons.
Wow. Yeah, good stuff. Let's see. We have a question from Mike again. He says, I heard that if you say the blood of Jesus into your hand and go to shake a person's hand, if they freak out, they're possessed. I said, well, I'm not sure about that, but I'll ask.
Okay, there are hardly anybody that is possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, King James, I'm guessing, made the first mistranslation with that word possessed in the Bible. If you look up the original words, it doesn't say possessed. It says demonized or having demons. So every time that you run across a verse that says that the possessed man or possessed this, scratch that out and put in demonized or having demons, because a possessed person has total control. The demons have total control over that person. They would be the people that are in the Looney Tune farm. And
right.
Now the demons, they prefer to be in your body and have control from day to day. But if not, they're perfectly happy with having you committed someplace and having you on drugs. So their drugs, the demon drugs, well, you know, they still got control over you, but you don't even know where you are or what you're doing. So
mm-hmm.
So possessed is a very bad word. But now that sounds, what I thought I heard from you say is he said he talks into his hand and says blood of Jesus.
He says, yeah, I don't know if he's done this, but he said, I heard. So he heard that if someone were to say, I guess, the blood of Jesus into your hand, and you go to shake a person's hand, if they freaked out, then they're possessed. So I've never heard that before.
No, and that's, you want to be careful who you shake hands with, because
mm-hmm.
their demons can transfer to you. Especially in a church environment, you know, you don't want everybody and his brother, like we mostly do, hug you. Now part of what I call daily deliverance is, it doesn't mean you cast the same demon out every time, but you do what's necessary at the time during the day. Like when I get off this phone here, part of what I call daily deliverance, here's what I pray, and this is on our website, our very first article on our index, a number of spiritual warfare prayers to pray daily. I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I command every demon that has followed me, sent to me, or transferred me to leave me now in Jesus' name. Now, I do that after telephone calls, after I leave Walmart, after I visit anybody. That's just what I do. That's normal. That's for my protection, because demons can cross through the telephone lines or through email or through websites or whatever. And so people say, oh, you're paranoid. No, paranoid's a demon, and I don't have that one. So it's just your protection. And the more you do deliverance and spiritual warfare, the less you even think about it. It's like It's like when you go to get in your car, okay, you if you got a clicker, you click the clicker there, and then you just hop in the seat there, and you put your seatbelt on, and you put the key in, and you put it in gear. You don't really think about it. It's so automatic that you just do it. And deliverance and spiritual warfare has got to be the same way. You don't think about it. It just happens. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a little nudge and you need to do something. Like if I'm on the freeway, and just every so often, an 18-wheeler might be next to me, and I the Holy Ghost or whatever, I don't know, and I just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I bind up all the demons in that truck driver and that truck. And that's it. Because see, the demons, they want to kill you. The demons would rather have you go to heaven than for you to continue on this earth teaching people about deliverance and doing deliverance yourself. And so he'll use an 18-wheeler or another car to cause you to get killed.
Right, right. Can you explain to our listeners binding and loosing?
Binding. All right. Binding. Binding is a temporary measure, and you should do it every place you go. You should. When I go to Walmart, I spend a lot of time at Walmart, by the way. When I go to Walmart or any store or any place, I say, as I'm entering or as soon as I get inside, I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I bind up every demon in this place. I cover myself in this place with the blood of Jesus, and I ask for giant warrior angels to protect me inside and protect every vehicle in the name of Jesus. And that's a temporary thing, because there's witches and Satanists walking around there, and they have the ability to zing on you to know where you are in the Lord. And if you're not real good with the Lord, or if you don't know about spiritual warfare, then they will put a curse on you or just do something to you while you're walking around in the store. And so binding up is a temporary thing. And I don't know of anybody that knows how long binding lasts. We learned this again 20 years ago. This guy, he was a Christian, and he said he had a demon living in his house. All right, now he didn't know what to do with it at the time. Now people would usually call this a ghost. There's no such thing as a ghost.
Right.
What we would call a ghost is just a demon that looks like somebody.
Familiar spirits, aren't they?
A human or somebody that you recognize, which then is a familiar spirit or a familiar demon. But anyhow, he had this demon that would just walk around. For some reason, it didn't hurt him or nothing, and that's usually when people let the demon stay, because at first they seem friendly, but their goal is to destroy you in the end. So then he learned that he can bind demons up. So he said this demon was standing between the guy's kitchen and his living room, I believe it was, and he says, in the name of Jesus, he pointed his finger at it because he could see him. And it's rare to see a demon, by the way. If you see demons, you need to pray that you don't see demons unless God is directing you. And if God gives you the ability to see demons as he wants you to see them, then you should also be able to see angels. If you're only seeing demons, you need to ask the Lord to take that from you, because that's the demons tormenting you over seeing demons. Now, the gift of discernment is totally different. But anyhow, so he said, in Jesus' name, I bind you up. He said that demon was standing in the doorway there for several months, and he didn't know what to do with it. He walked by the demon, and he was frozen there. And then he learned
for several months, really?
Yeah. Oh. But that's how we learned about this, that it's not temporary, but we don't know how long. And so then he found out that he actually had the power with the name of Jesus to cast this thing out. So he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave my house. And that demon left. So there for 3 months, I believe it was, that demon was standing there. He was bound. And now when you go walk into a grocery store or your family's house or a friend's house or whatever, you bind up their demons anyhow, because you don't want their demons attacking you. That's what it's all about. And I'll give you let me write down loosing here.
Before you get started on loosing, when you're done, I'm just going to let you know ahead of time we have a caller. So go ahead.
Okay. Binding. Now, here's one thing. When again, this goes back 24 years, we first got started, we had two guys that came to us who claimed that they were ex-Satanists. Now, I don't know if it's true, but one person told me that there's no such thing as an ex-Satanist. Now, I don't know about this guy, but now here's what he told me. He's a young guy, about early 20s, And he said, now I want to tell you this first up front before we do anything here. He says, every ministry that I have been to, every church I've been to, I have destroyed. Just something, whatever. He didn't say what he'd done, but I know it was his demons. So he's...
Wow.
Now, at the time, now we didn't know this at the time, because like, we were just learning everything. When you take one, if you are going to take someone through deliverance, do not allow them to cross their arms, and do not allow them to cross their legs. That's, cross your arms, that's like a sign of rebellion, like I am coming out. And so anyhow, we didn't know any better, so he had his arms crossed. And we always pray the same way, just about. We bind up all their demons to cover the place with the blood of Jesus, giant warrior angels. And so we start casting demons out of this guy, and he's got his arms folded, and he's rolling his shoulders back and forth, back and forth. And I said, man, well, now we don't allow demons to manifest. Some ministries, they do because they like to show. We don't want to show, you know.
Well, didn't Jesus quiet the demons? People are trying to do that, too, is trying to figure out, you know, what is your name and get an identity and talk to them.
Yeah, okay, remind me, I'll write this down, name. Remind me that, that's important, too. Anyhow, so we stopped doing deliverance. You can do deliverance on somebody and take a break, go eat, get a cup of coffee, go back and just continue. There's no special thing about it. So I asked him, I said, what was all this rolling back and forth with your shoulders? Now, here's what he told me. He said, I was trying to punch you in the face, but I could not get my arms untied. Binding, spiritually, invisibly bound his body up, his physical body, that he could not harm me. And so that's another reason for binding up. You don't want nobody smashing you or throwing you across the room or anything like that. So that was a first-hand experience we had, and we learned. And we up till that point, we didn't know about the physical, the actual binding up, but we started doing that when another deliverance minister we learned from. Now this is talking about praying. Write this down. Praying with your eyes closed. We do not pray with our eyes closed. This other deliverance ministry, as is in the case, if you have a lot of people, they're all sitting in chairs and like they all say, oh, let's bow our head and close our eyes and pray. And so they had their eyes closed, and a demon got up and knocked this woman right out of the chair, the deliverance minister, because she had her eyes closed. So when I'm praying for anybody, especially if it's in a large group, I'm looking all over. I'm just watching them in case I got to take some immediate action right there on the spot. So we don't recommend you close your eyes when you pray, but there's nothing wrong with it, but I ain't going to do it.
Right. Do you want to take a pause for a minute and take the caller?
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's do that because I don't like to leave him waiting too long. So we've got a caller from the 435 area code. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm just listening.
Okay, no problem. I'll put you back on mute, just checking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, carry on, Stan.
Okay, names of demons. Some ministries never use names of demons. Now, I believe that if you have a name, you should use it. Demons will make you believe that you have to have their name. That is not true. It's just not true. I don't care who you heard it from. You don't need their name. It just helps if you do have it.
They're probably getting it from the scripture about legion. That's what I would assume.
Well, now that's... That was going to be my next scripture I was going to tell you about. That is the reason why we use names. Now, where they say they have nothing to go on to say not to use names because of Legion, and so Legion has a name. Now, here I go. We're talking about Legion. We need to, we never got to loosing yet, but Legion. Now, if you read the scripture, now, I'm retired Navy, and I spent probably half my career as a Navy instructor teaching young sailors, and so I expect everybody to do their own homework. And so I don't give out a lot of scriptures or hardly any scriptures because I want them to look them up if they were, well, where does it say that in the Bible? And so Legion. Now, if you look up the scripture about Legion, this is a different subject we're going to call it here. All right, now what happened? The crazy guy came up to Jesus, and And the first thing Jesus said to the demon was to leave. Before we found out that his name was Legion, Jesus told the demon to leave. The next verse, Jesus says, "What's your name?" Well, guess what? Jesus commanded the demon to leave, and the demon did not leave. Why? The reason I believe is for us. It's for us today that just because you command a demon to leave don't mean that he left. That sometimes it takes more than one time. And so then after finding out it was Legion, okay, you know the rest of the story. He left.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're trying to get rid of some demon, and I use the demon named Temper. Temper is a demon. Now, the doctors will say, oh, no, that's just your personality. No, it's a demon personality. And if you do have a temper, and most people have a temper problem, then when you cast that temper demon out, you no longer have a temper. Now, if you do deliverance, I'm mainly talking self-deliverance here. I do not believe in you, the listener, going around and finding somebody to cast your demons out. You're supposed to do it. Okay, so if you command temper to leave, and you know you have a temper, or any problem, symptom, fault that you have, and then the next day you lose your temper, well, guess what? The demon is still there. So you just cast him out again. Now, it don't mean that you've got a lack of faith, because faith really has nothing to do with deliverance. It all has to do with the name of Jesus and you doing it. And now what happens, there's so many things that are just so people would call strange or bizarre or yeah, right. But this is just the way it is. With temper and other demons, the first time you cast them out, I like to use, and this is on our website or someplace, I like to use the cabbage story. When I was a kid, my dad always made me go down to the store and get the biggest head of cabbage that they had, and then bring it home, and then he'd peel off layer after layer to make his what he was going to make for that day. Mm-hmm. And with some demons, they lose a layer. When you cast temper out the first time, a portion of him leaves, a layer of temper or whatever leaves. All right, so then next time if you lose your temper again, you know he's still there. You do it again. You do more deliverance. And every time, whatever your situation is, whether it's lust or drugs or smoking or temper or whatever, every time you do it, that demon loses a layer and a layer and a layer, and it's just like the head of cabbage. It keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until you have just the final little ball, and then you just pluck that dude right out of there. Now, that does happen with some demons. Most demons want to leave immediately when you cast them out. Most other demons, they want to leave before you cast them out because they do not like to hang around in a home where deliverance is going on a regular basis in spiritual warfare. Now, they do pop in once in a while just to see what you're going to do. They do. They will test you. And this gets back to doing stuff automatically. You just you get a strange smell that pops in your house, and you ain't been cooking anything or eating beans or something. Then that's a demon. When it happens here, not often, but it does happen. I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I command this smelly demon to leave. And if it's a demon, that smell leaves the house immediately. That's how you know that it was in fact a demon checking up on you to see whether you're going to take action. And if some people say, well, I saw this demon in my house, man. I'm just looking at it. Or I'm sitting here and I start getting this sharp pain. I say, this pain. Well, see, if you're doing automatic, you would immediately command that demon to leave. And anytime you do have a sharp pain in your body someplace, then and you immediately command it, I command this pain to leave, and this is, again, on our number one on our index there. I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I pull out all fiery darts, pins, spears, witchcraft, anything else being sent our way, and I pretend I'm throwing it out a window, and I return it to the sender 100-fold in Jesus' name. If it's witchcraft, if it's voodoo, if it's any kind of evil that was sent your way, that pain will go immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's I include all that list, Satanism and voodoo, I just call witchcraft. And so it's some form of witchcraft that they would, they're sitting around someplace and send a curse to you. And people say, well, Christians can have curses. Well, yes, they can, and it happens. And people with the knowledge send curses to believers, and if you don't return the curse, you keep the curse. And people say, well, we ought not to be sending curses to people. And I ain't sending no curse to people. I got this thing in the mail. It's not mine. I don't want it. I'm returning it to sender.
Right.
Once you return it, it's God's business what he wants to do with it, if anything. If it's a witch that sent evil your way, and they want to hurt you,
right,
even kill you, and you send it back. Now, God knows whether that witch is going to get saved the next day or because of you returning or whatever. Now, he also knows that ain't nothing going to help this person, and he might do something to that witch or that Satanist or whatever. Now, that's just the way it is. So you don't return a curse, by the way. You don't return it with the hope or the idea or the prayer that the witch or whatever is going to be harmed. Then you are doing witchcraft. You're returning
right.
it because you don't want it. That's all you're doing. You don't want it, you're returning to the sender.
Right. Well, that's just it. I think people might have misunderstood returning 10, you know, 100 times fold or whatever, is it's not intentionally to hurt somebody. So I'm glad you made that point.
Right.
Go ahead.
And we normally do sevenfold. Sevenfold is talked about in the Bible.
Right.
And let's see. What is that Psalm? Psalm 29. Boy, I forgot the number. I ain't used it in such a long time. With King David, I mean, he sent curses.
Mm-hmm.
That number just escaped me, and Elizabeth had to leave. Anyhow, it's Psalm 109. I think that's it, Psalm 109. King David, I mean, it's long. I mean, that's something that we can pray. And I save that one for really people that I know are trying to harm me in some way. But now that's sending stuff. We can do that.
Yeah.
Now, others will say, well, you know, what about that scripture, bless those who curse you? I get this a lot in email. That doesn't mean what you think it means. All right, the word curse, as used in that scripture, is the same word that is used when Peter was in the garden and they was taking the Lord to be crucified, and they came up to Peter, and he said, we know who you are. You're one of his disciples. And it said, Peter cursed. All right, cursed. He used foul language. All right? Mm-hmm. So, bless those that curse you doesn't mean a witchcraft curse. There's no witchcraft curses mentioned in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So, it ain't a curse as we know today that witches can do and Satanists can do and voodoo people can do. Voodoo's not in the Bible. So, our curse, we have an article curses on our alphabetical index there that pretty much explains all this about curses and how you can get them. And God put curses on people too, generational curses. I just emailed a person today, wrote to me and said that they had a child out of wedlock. And I said, well, now part of your problems that you're having is that God put a 400-year curse on you. And that's in the Bible there. King David had a 10-generational curse put on him. Okay, so now we look at a generation as being however many years, and anyhow it comes up to 400. Gene Moody, he explained it to me, but I still didn't get it yet. He says that's over 1,000 years. But anyhow, that's what's relevant about this is that you did not get saved without doing something. You had to repent, ask Jesus into your heart. You had to do something. When when generational curses are put on you, or the curses that you caused in yourself, being involved in witchcraft, it puts a curse from God for 160 years. That's on you and your descendants. And that curse from God stays there until you repent of it specifically and specifically ask the Lord to remove it. Just like getting saved, you specifically, and he does, and it's that simple to, you know. Right. But see, if you don't have that knowledge, then, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and you're having all these problems, and you don't know where they're coming from. And here was your great-great-grandmother was a witch, and you're suffering her consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of that.
Oh, interesting. Mike has another question, if you're ready for it.
Sure.
He says, this is off topic. Hold on here. Scroll up. This is off topic, but he heard that the cross is actually satanic and a dome is symbolic of the Father, and putting a cross over a dome, like on a church, means Satan above the Father. Is that true?
Well, kind of yes and no. Now, I would not call it satanic, because the Satanists, they do use a cross, but they use an upside-down cross. But we have an article on our alphabetical index on the cross, and nobody should be wearing a cross around their neck or hanging on their walls or hanging over a church. Now, the reason for this is almost every religion uses the cross. Buddhists use a cross. The Buddhist temples have crosses on them. So if you've got a, and I used to wear a cross way back when before I knew anything about deliverance. And so if you've got a cross hanging around your neck and a Buddhist walks up to you and says, oh, you're a Buddhist. Oh, all right. Well, now, you know that it represents Jesus, but they don't. So with deliverance, what your listeners should start learning and taking action on is to find out about the origin of something. And when you find out the origin, that's when you stop doing certain things or saying certain things. The origin of the cross, they crucified people on the cross many, many years before Jesus ever came on the scene. And so because of the origin, you don't use crosses. Now, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's demonic, but you don't do it because of the origin. It's like the origin of a doll. You should not have any dolls in your home. That includes stuffed animals, which are dolls. And the reason is because the first doll ever discovered was a voodoo doll that we know about in history. A lot of things we're talking about here are found in a very, very old Encyclopedia Britannica. It's no longer in the newer versions, but old versions of almost anything, you can learn all kinds of stuff that actually happened. And so you don't do a cross. Now, something that is very, very prevalent, I guess you'd say, by Christians is the old fish. Oh, that's a Christian fish. Yes, sir, I got one on the back of my car. Well, guess what? It's not a Christian symbol. Somewhere along the line, somebody just started saying, well, we'll use that. Now, here's what happened. What is his name way back when? Actually, the guy that started Catholicism. I'm able to pop it in my mind. Anyhow, way back when the Christians started getting persecuted, they went underground. Okay, so this guy, and he was a Roman guy. I just can't remember his name. He was the guy. Now I'm picturing him riding a horse, carrying the flag with this thing on it, and he supposedly got a sign from God. Anyhow, he was a bad guy, and he turned out he started being Catholic, and that's where Catholics came from after that. But anyhow, they was killing all the Christians, but when they went underground, they had a hard time finding them. So he came up with the design. We've got to find a way to find these where these Christians are. So he came up with that fish symbol that most Christians use today. And so when they would approach somebody, they'd draw that fish symbol in the sand, and the real Christian thought that, you know, hey, you know, because the word had gotten around about this fish thing being the symbol, so you can recognize another Christian. And then when they say, oh, yeah, me too, and then they chop their head off or whatever, they feed them to the lions or something. So that is the origin of the fish symbol as we know it today.
Very good. Okay, question in the chat room from this one coming from Sator. He asks, how can you help a person who isn't strong in the walk but under heavy oppression?
Well, he's not under heavier pressure. First of all, he's heavily demonized. And mm-hmm. and most people have hundreds or even thousands of demons. That's just the way it is. Everybody has demons, no exceptions.
Right.
Period. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, where does it say in the Bible that you don't have any demons?
Mm-hmm.
See, those that believe shall cast out demons. You're a believer, cast them out. So you can't help anybody who does not want deliverance. Go back to what I said way back when there, is a person that gets saved while listening to this program. We'll do a quick salvation prayer here. If you get saved watching this or listening to this program right now, you are able to cast out demons, all right, and you start doing so. So the person that this the guy in the chat room is asking about is, first ask him, say, you know, don't ever, if you're trying to help somebody, don't ever take their word for it that they're saved. Again, I'll say mm-hmm. that most people that say they're saved are not saved. All right, so you say, all right, say this prayer. And I just use a short prayer, you know, ask the Lord to forgive you all your sins and come into your life and fill me with the Holy Spirit. And if they're serious, they're going to be saved right there on the spot. And make them say the sinner's prayer. Write it down if you have to, or lead them into one. And if they're serious, say, okay, now you know you're going to heaven if you was to die right now. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they just need some knowledge about casting out demons, and two believers together is a whole lot better than one person doing self-deliverance, especially in a family. If it's just a husband and wife, both of them doing deliverance on each other and on self-deliverance as needed daily. And if you have children, you need to be doing deliverance on your children, even if the child is still in your belly. Demons come into people at conception. As soon as that sperm hits the egg, the demons from the mother, the demons from the father, grandmother, great-grandfather, grandmother, and there's no telling how far down the line the demons come in there. If you've got certain problems...
To back up what you're saying for a minute, I've always said, and people have thought I was crazy, but I don't care, and then other people do agree with me, I say, you know, children are evil by nature. You don't have to teach them to lie and steal and do all these things. You have to teach them good. They are already naturally doing evil things. So that right there should demonstrate, and I'm not saying, you know, your kid is evil, but what I'm saying is that there is an evil nature innate that is very natural, and would you agree with that at all?
Absolutely. And that all goes back to Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, you know, you're born with God. Well, we would have been if it hadn't been for Adam and Eve. So you are
right.
Born into that evil, you know, don't mean like you're Chucky the Vampire or somebody. But,
right, exactly.
But you have to be taught the godly things. That,
mm-hmm.
That's how it is. And so you do deliverance. Lay your hand, if you're pregnant, you lay your hands on your belly and just start the demons that you know you have. Most people know what demons they have, you know,
right.
Or lust or whatever. If there's health issues that run in the family line, especially, that could be generational curse, but it could be demons too. If someone in the family dies when they're 40 years old of a heart attack, and you see it from, you know, this one in the family, and that one, and that one, and that one, and then you're getting ready to turn 40 years old, you're going to die of a heart attack because of that demon that has crossed the generational lines, and the demons, or the scientists, a lot of them demons, the scientists say, well, you know, that's in the genes. Well, it's in the genes,
right.
For sure, but it's the demons that are in the genes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just command whatever symptom is a good word to use, whatever your symptom is, use that name for the demon, you know, heart failure, heart attack, going crazy, whatever it is.
Or characteristics also, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, characteristic. Yeah,
Yeah, so it's not exactly hard to identify a demon. It's just about putting your brain to work and figuring out the symptoms and the characteristics and the flaws involved with your life, and then you can start plucking them off one by one, and it's a process.
Right, but now the other thing is that that most people have demons that they're not aware of. You know, let's do this one right now. A lot of believers do not speak in tongues when all believers are supposed to speak in tongues. Now, a demon called, here's a demon name. The demon that keeps a person from speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, his name is Blackwell. This is his name. Now, well, where'd you, that ain't in the Bible. Well, no, is your Chevy or your Ford is not in the Bible, neat, but yet you're driving one. Blackwell is his name, and his job is to keep people from speaking in tongues. Now, what also keeps people from speaking in tongues is bad teaching or false teaching. And the one that I hear the most from people, well, God has not given me that gift. Well, the talking in tongues, praying in tongues, speaking in tongues that we're talking about is not the gift of tongues. Okay, in Corinthians there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is one of them. And then the next one is interpretation of tongues. Now that is the gift of tongues, one of the 9. And in that same area there, it says that the Holy Spirit gives them to us as he sees fit. All right? Mm-hmm. You might have one today to heal somebody, and tomorrow when you pray for them to be healed, they don't get healed. Well, the Holy Ghost didn't give you that. I don't know of anybody who can heal everybody every time they pray or get rid of their demon every time. That it's the Holy Spirit's business. Well, that's not what we're talking about right now. One place in the Bible, I believe it was Paul, said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than ye all. Well, he wasn't talking about the gift of tongues. He was talking about the daily prayer language. And in the Bible days, the only way they knew you was really saved was that you spoke in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way that it was. That's history. And one scripture to back that up, I forget who it was, approached a group of believers, and I don't know if it was Peter or Paul. I don't know. And I don't remember. I'm 65. You know how that goes with your memory there. You forget more than you remember. But anyhow, he approached this group of believers, and he says, I'm putting this in my own words now, paraphrasing here. He said, do you speak in tongues? And he said, we don't know what you're talking about. We was baptized with John's baptism. And so they I guess they chatted, and they prayed, and they all left all speaking in tongues. So at that point,
that was in Acts, and that was Paul.
Acts, that's right. There you go. And so false teaching will keep you from praying. We have an alphabetical index, tongues, to learn all the deal about the scripture and speaking, why we should pray in tongues. Demons hate us to pray in tongues. When possible, you should pray out loud in tongues. If you're, you know, don't do it while you're sitting at your typewriter at work or nothing, you know. But if you're in your car or whenever, you know, or if you don't even care, pray out loud in tongues. If you're doing deliverance on somebody, and a demon will not leave. Oh, you know, we never got back to speaking. That's another page of it. Speaking to demons. I'll need to get back to that. Okay. Now that I've stopped and wrote that down, I forget what we were just talking about.
Well, that's okay because we've got a couple things that we've left out. We got to talk about loosing still, and. You were talking about tongues and how basically.
Oh, tongues.
That's...
All right, got it. Thank you, Lord.
Right. Okay.
When you cast some demons on somebody, and that demon is a stubborn demon, he's, I ain't gone nowhere, you know, and mm-hmm. sometimes they'll talk. You start praying in tongues out loud, and that demon's out of here. He does not want to be around speaking in tongues because, and here's another misconception taught in wherever, churches or whatever. Demons can understand what you're saying when you pray in tongues. Otherwise, they would not leave when you're praying in tongues with somebody. Now, we have a lot of audio MP3 files on our index there, and one of the we've taken a teenage girl through deliverance, and this is one of our most wild demons, and her demons start screaming and yelling, and the demon start praying in demonic tongues, and you can hear that. And there ain't much difference between demonic tongues and a real believer tongues, but they also can pray in tongues. Now, I'm assuming that the devil knows what they're saying. I don't know, but and I don't care. But anyhow, we did get that demon out of that girl. Speaking to demons, okay. A lot of people. Some minutes you say no, you can't speak to demons. Okay, this gets back to Legion. See, that's how far back we was talking about him. Jesus spoke to demons, so it's okay for us to speak to demons. We do not make a habit out of it. I know of ministries who they make a show out of it, and they want that demon talking and yelling and screaming, and we don't want that going on. And it's not necessary. We commanded the demon to just shut up in Jesus' name. We asked the Lord to have the angels put a gag in his mouth so he can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And now on occasion, though, when it's a tough demon and he's, I ain't leaving, I don't care. Okay, if he has a legal right, he ain't leaving.
Right, and you have to figure out what that is, right?
Right. And sometimes the person will know what that legal right is. Like, well, yeah, when I was 5 years old, I used to play with the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That opened the door. That gave the demons legal grounds to be in you. And if that was not revealed by the person, we could not get that demon out. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal when it's just, you can pray and pray and pray. And, most of what you do in deliverance is just based on knowledge that you gain for yourself and through other ministries and, of course, the Holy Spirit. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will do something. We was taking a woman through deliverance and could not get this demon, and just out of the clear blue, the Holy Spirit put it on this woman's mind, her brain, thought, or whatever, that when she was very small, 5 years old, I believe it was, she was molested by somebody. Now, she had no knowledge. She didn't even know that this happened until the Holy Spirit revealed it. And so we started dealing with all those sexual things and everything, and she was set free of that. So legal grounds is... Now, a demon will say, I got legal grounds, you can't get rid of me. Well, if you put enough pressure on him, he's going to leave because he don't really have legal grounds because he lies.
Mm-hmm.
And but now sometimes they tell the truth. So, in the Bible, the demon told Jesus, we know who you are, the Son of God. Well, they weren't lying, so they don't lie all the time. And when given a choice of being put in the box or wherever the Lord will have them to go, the demons will give you all kinds of good information.
Right, right. Now, I have a question, and you hear this, I've heard this on a lot of different deliverance ministries, and I personally don't agree with it, just because maybe God hasn't revealed it to me yet, but taking command of judgment on demons, sending them to the throne of God or sending them to Tartarus or sending them to these, into chains or I mean, I thought they, when they get cast out, they wander in dry and arid places. And, yeah, they can return. They return. And if this person isn't keeping up with their spiritual health, is what I call that, then, yeah, they can bring seven more wicked and they'd be tormented worse than before. But so what is the deal with these, with sending demons to places I don't think we have, and I may be wrong, but I don't think we have the authority to do that.
Okay. You do. Now,
okay.
Here's what we have learned over the years. If we hear from another ministry that we something that we don't know that they're using and it works, we're going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we don't do this often because, like you said, the scripture does say that when the demon's cast out, he goes to dry places. All right.
Right.
Now, if there's other people in a room, that demon, we have no idea what dry places even is, but that demon could come back immediately into someone else in a room or maybe the same person. We just don't know. That's something that's just, we won't know. When we get to heaven, we won't even care then. But so we have learned that, matter of fact, it was Legion. when they cast the Legion out, they went into the swine.
Right.
That was at least
ran off the cliff.
Ran off the cliff into the sea. Now, people think that the demons died. You can't kill a demon. Demons didn't die, but the sea is the deep. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for what? Now, sometimes we'll send a demon. All right, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go to the. We send you to the deep. They hate that. So now our experience, why we think it's okay to do that, is because the demons react so bad, they do not want to go to the deep, which infers to water for some reason.
Right, because the legion said to Jesus, "Please do not send us to your judgment. You know, it's not their time."
Yeah.
And so, to me, if we're casting demons into judgment before their time, I mean, it seems like to me that would be kind of wayward.
Well, if they're going to dry places or going to the deep, maybe they go to the deep first and then they go to dry places or vice versa. It really doesn't matter. But I do know that it is an effective tool. The most effective tool we have ever found, and this is mentioned on our website, it's called the box, B-O-X.
Uh-huh.
Demons hate the box. Now, we use the box as a last resort for demons that are talking to you, and they ain't leaving, they ain't gonna go. There are no scriptures to back this up. We learned this from somebody, and we know that it's like send them to the deep. We know that it works. And so when we're dealing with a demon who's vocal and he said, he ain't leaving, you can't get rid of me, I don't care what I ain't going, I've been here for 20 years and I'm not leaving. And so I say, all right, if you ain't going to leave, I'm going to put you in the box. Do you want to go in the box? I ask them, do you want to go in the box? Normally they'll shake their head no. Now that's the human shaking their head. The demon usually controls a person during deliverance through their eyes or shaking their body. And the demon's like, I said, all right, now if you don't come out of there, I'm going to put you in the box. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to leave or I'm putting you in the box. And I start counting, 10, 9, 8. And before I get to one, they're gone.
Mm.
Now, sometimes the demon will say, I don't care, put me in the box. I said, okay, I don't give them no second chance. I follow in Jesus' name. I put this demon in the box. I cover that box with the blood of Jesus. I ask you to tie it up with iron chains and fetters. Put an angel in that box with him, reading the word of God to him day and night, night and day. He'll get no peace, no rest in Jesus' name. And I ask you to make that box like a body glove. It's fit so tight around that demon that he can't even breathe in Jesus' name. And now he is stuck in that box. He cannot get out of that box until he's cast out. And one time I put a demon in the box, and I think it was about a week or two later, we was doing deliverance on the same person, and that demon in the box was begging to get out of the box. And so I was, all right, you're going to leave. So we got him out of the box, and he left. So the box is very, very effective. Oh, that's crazy, man. Oh, no. Well, I had a comment on our website having nothing to do with demons. I think I removed it. But I made a comment towards the top of my website there, and it said, it was talking about trying stuff. You know, don't dismiss the box or the deep or whatever if you don't try. And so I had a comment about apple cider vinegar is a good underarm deodorant. Try it. It works. And it just works. But I had so many people contact me saying, I don't know, they were trying to use vinegar to get rid of demons or something. I don't know. But no, it had got nothing to do with deliverance. The whole purpose was to get you to try whatever it is.
Well, see, right there, just to say yes, I agree with what you're saying, Scripture tells us, I mean, Jesus in his own words told the disciples, well, you know, when they were amazed at all the miracles that they were producing and doing in his name, I mean, Jesus even said himself that you're going to go on to do even greater things than I, you know.
Yeah.
And it says, whatever you bind in heaven and whatever you loose, you know, those. So there's a big, huge open door platform that we can get really creative. So, you know, like I said, it wasn't revealed to me. It just seemed, I don't know, you know, but like you said, though, I'm willing to try new things and you know, you can't go wrong in the name of Jesus. So,
see, now with the deep or send them to Taurus, or My wife just got back. I thought she's on speakerphone there. I'm getting a
feedback here.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, wait, let me ask what's...
What'd you do? Stop.
Okay, well, I have... Okay. Anyhow, having a... I don't know why I'm getting this fuzz. Must be the phone or something.
You sound clear on that. You sound clear on this end.
Yeah, okay. The deep, the box, whatever, you don't have to use it, but...
Right.
You mentioned a part of the scripture there when the demons are talking to Jesus. Have you come to torment us before our time?
Right.
I take that like let's torment the demons. So I think that when you do extra stuff like put them in the box or you send them to the deep or Tarsus or wherever, you are tormenting these demons and that's a good thing.
Mm.
I wrote down while we're talking here thoughts and talking about try it, you'll like it. Many moons ago, another ministry, he had a newsletter or something, anyhow, and he was talking about when you have thoughts that you don't want or should not have, you say, in Jesus' name, I circumcise these thoughts. I said, yeah, right. Now, this is new. I was, kind of new at this, too, and that just sounded crazy to me, as a bunch of listeners now might be saying other things we've been talking about, like the box and other things. That's crazy. Try it. Anyhow, so finally I said, all right, I'm going to try this thing. So I don't care what kind of thought it is. If you get a thought that you don't want or should not have, you say, in Jesus' name, I circumcise these thoughts, and that thought is gone. I mean, it is gone.
Yeah.
And now sometimes you got to do it a couple of times. Now, that is caused by what's called thought demons. They're not in you. They just kind of pass by and give you a thought.
Yeah, right.
And that's about thought. Now this guy went even to a step further, and he said you could circumcise the thoughts before you even get them. I said, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now with this, there's a partial scripture with this. When you're circumcising your thoughts, it goes to a scripture in the Old Testament or someplace, where it talks about circumcising your heart. Well, you can't circumcise your heart, so it is a spiritual thing. So if you can circumcise your heart spiritually, you can circumcise your thoughts spiritually.
Right.
But another really, really good weapon that does work. Next.
So this is all very interesting, and I did have a question pop in my mind. And before the question, though, did you want to take a break, or are you still, how are you doing on your end? Do you
want
to roll?
I'm taking a swallow of water here every once in a while.
Okay. I
feel going out. Go ahead. I'll be able to talk to Elizabeth to get back on the line here.
Okay, great. So the question is, I do have some personal experience with this one, and I've been able to help and minister to others, try to help them also with the same problem, and that is dealing with the sleep paralysis is what they call it, but I believe it's a demonic attack, where the demon is on top of your chest. Well, what had happened to me, Stan, was that I was literally flipped over in bed, and I couldn't open my eyes, and I felt this pushing in my head.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was scrambling my mind. I couldn't get the word Jesus to even produce it in my mind, even though I was thinking it.
Hmm.
And the minute I finally got it, I screamed out Jesus in my mind. It finally let go, and it was over. But my face had contorted, and my body was completely paralyzed, and I knew I was completely aware of everything. And I did a lot of research, and I'm thinking, I got right on my knees, and right after that experience, I was very shaken up. It was very real. And I did get on my knees and spent quite some time in prayer just after that happened. And then, of course, I went into research mode. And there's a lot of different interpretations of sleep paralysis, demonic attacks. It led me to research incubus and subicus and all that stuff, even though those weren't really the issues. But I guess my question would be, during something like
like that, what's your take on it? I just would want you to maybe spend a few minutes talking about that.
Well, it's demons can basically do anything they want.
Uh-huh.
They really prefer doing stuff while you're in your bed sleeping, whether you're male or female. And I thought you were going to, the subject was going to be the incubus succubus, which is probably the subject that I hear about the most.
Yeah, but it wasn't women. Just sexual in nature, so that's why
yeah.
I ruled them out.
But see, this could have, had you not been able to get the name Jesus out of your mouth, this could have been the first step to maybe days later, weeks later, where it turned into a sex demon.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
So they could have been coming to check you out. Because, see, if you look at the people this happens to that are not even Christian, you know, they can't
mm-hmm.
say Jesus because they don't even know Jesus.
Right.
And if they don't know Jesus, they can't use his name. They don't have the power or authority
mm-hmm.
that works like a real believer has. And so that's, you know, that's all I can tell you is that, you know, they was testing you, checking you out to see what further. Because the women that I hear from, and most of them, they enjoy this. You know, they found our website through looking up the word, incubus, succubus, and it's crazy. But
they enjoy it. Yeah, they enjoy it.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
But now one other thing, though, is a human with the knowledge can also do this to you or to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned about this, again, going back 20 years, we first learned about this, is one of the terms that they use, I wouldn't necessarily call them a witch, but the witches use it, and anybody, a five-year-old in the public library can learn how to do it, astral projection.
Mm, yeah, I've done a lot of research on that.
Okay, they're sitting at home, and they say, I'm going to go visit Val, see what she's up to right now. They're
right,
sitting at home,
right.
But their, whatever you want to call it, spirit being, shows up in your bedroom or your kitchen or wherever you are.
And that is biblical in the book of Ecclesiastes, talking about the silver cord.
Okay, now that's what, now this is, that is the term that they use. They call that. From where they are, say sitting in their living room, to your
mm-hmm.
bedroom, they have a link which they call their silver cord.
Right.
So we learned that besides doing it, now the first thing you do is you deal with it as it's demonic, as it's a demon. So you command a demon to leave in the name of Jesus. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you also deal with it in case it's a human, and you say in the name of Jesus, I cut and burn all ungodly silver cords.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If it's a human, the thing will disappear immediately. We had just learned this way back when, and I don't remember if it was a phone call or an email. No, it couldn't have been an email. It wasn't an email. A phone call from a female lawyer out in California. And she told us that she had hired this guy to work around her yard and didn't know it, but he turned out he was a Satanist. And the
uh-huh.
Satanists would in with his silver cord would pop up in her bedroom. She could see them. Now when they pop up, they can choose whether to remain visible or invisible.
Mm-hmm.
They might want to scare you to let you know what they can do, or to just be invisible, and you know you're just scared. Anyhow, so this guy would pop up and she could see him. And so we just learned about the silver cords, and we told her. She called us back a few days or a week later, and she said, you ain't going to believe this. She said, I was in my bed, and this guy popped up, and I look at it like just like a Star Trek. You know, beam me up, Scotty? And they
right.
just, ooh, they, and she said, she pointed to him, in the name of Jesus, I cut all your ungodly silver cords. And she said, that thing, it was a guy. That guy disappeared immediately when I said that.
Right.
And so there's another thing that, it's just a spiritual warfare prayer. You know, you could say, oh, Jesus, you know, remove this thing that's in my room. Well, he may not. He probably
mm-hmm.
won't, because he told you to do it. And so,
right.
so that's the silver cord is very another, that takes care of humans. Now, part of our regular prayer is cutting all ungodly silver cords and ley lines. Whatever you want to call that. There's different spellings. I have people say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. A ley line is this thing that's all over the world. Well, yeah, that is one meaning of a ley line, but another meaning is it's the way witches and others communicate with each other, telepathically, you would call it. And so we cut all ungodly silver cords and ley lines to interrupt their communications.
Mm. Very good, very good. Well, this is awesome. Very informative, informative show, by the way. Now, when we're talking about teenagers and things of that nature, you know, we were all once one. But
long time ago.
Right. When we're dabbling, when people are dabbling with Ouija boards or any of those kinds of things and incantations and such, and then they become saved and ask for forgiveness of those particular sins and dabbling in the occult, is there anything further they need to do, or what is that good enough?
No. See, this goes back to what we were talking earlier about generational curses and curses from God, and dabbling in the occult, or even reading your horoscopes is a form of you being involved in witchcraft, and God put a 160-year curse. Well, when you get saved, the curse doesn't leave, as we discussed earlier. You have to ask the Lord, even though everything's under the blood, you don't have to be specific with every sin that you've done up to the day you got saved, but when curses are involved, you need to be specific, and you say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for, you know, what I've done with the Ouija board or whatever tarot cards way back when or last week or whenever it was, and I repent of it, and I ask you to remove that curse that you placed on me, and he will.
So it's about a process. So what I'm gathering with our conversation, it's a process, and it's something that we need to do daily. Self-deliverance. A lot of people are unaware that they can deliver themselves, you know, by doing this. And it keeps you, it's basically, as you grow in your spiritual walk, you're also gaining health by deliverance. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
And the most important thing, again, is that daily, because here's what happens a lot. I get email from people that found us 5, 6, 10 years ago on the internet, and now they got all the same problems that they had, only worse. Well, that's because they stopped doing deliverance. And see, what happens is a lot of people will start doing deliverance, and they'll get free of this and that. Porn is a big problem, especially with pastors, they say. And they're no longer into porn, and they're no longer doing this and doing that, and they stop doing deliverance. Well, the demons might give you a few days or a few weeks slack to make you say, oh, wow, you know, I'm feeling great. And then they're coming back with a double whammy or triple whammy or sevenfold whammy. And so, this is why daily is so important. Daily deliverance, daily spiritual warfare, daily break and return curses.
Okay, question in the chat room. Mike, again, asks, my mom...
We're going to have to start charging Mike, man. All right.
Yeah. by the minute. No, I'm kidding. he says that his mom's big into horoscopes. Does he need to remove curses from that?
He can. Mike, you cannot remove curses from anybody except yourself. You can't help your mom... Unless your mom's, first she's got to get saved.
Let me rephrase the question because I think I know what he's trying to ask. If his mom, since obviously that's part of his generation, is into something that is evil, will it have an effect on him, and how can he be free of that?
Yes, because see the mom got a 160-year curse. And so that's on the mom and on him and on Mike's kids and their kids for 160 years. If it was an illegitimate child that somebody had, that's 400 years. So once you get the knowledge that you now have, Mike, over the phone here or the listening, you need to protect yourself. You know, you can't help your mom. You cannot remove that curse from your mom, but you maybe try and tell her about it, and she's going to think you're nuts and lock you up. And so see, that's a generational curse. and we have an article on generational curses. And so you say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, now since your mom's still alive, the Lord ain't going to forgive her unless she asks for it. You say, Lord, forgive me for this generational curse that was placed on me, and now that I have the knowledge of this, I ask you to remove the curse from me, Mike.
Right. Okay, got it.
The mom is on her own.
I think that's the answer. Right, yeah. That's the answer he was saying, because he made a comment that he pleaded with her to stop, and following that, she looks at him and, like he's nuts and says, I like my horoscope. So,
yeah.
You know.
And,
Really quick, though, for the callers that are listening by phone, if you need to come on the air or if you want to, if you have a question, just press number 1 at any time, and that'll raise your hand on my switchboard and let me know you want to come on the air. Otherwise, you're just going to hang there and listen. That's what I'm assuming. You're just calling in to listen. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Now, you take a 400-year curse.
Mm-hmm.
Back during the Civil War, there ain't no telling what everybody done with everybody, as history would probably reflect. And so,
right.
So you should, when you learn about curses, you should go through the book of Deuteronomy. This is a good thing to do. One chapter is the book of blessings, it's called, and one is called the book of curses. And I mean, there's just tons and tons of curses. Now, you may not have done any of those curses, but you just go through it. Deuteronomy 728. Chapter 28. That's it. Chapter 28 is the curses and the blessings chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go through there and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to remove all these generational curses from me. And if you have children, into my children, well, young children, if you've got older children, they're on their own to learn this. And then I just have people just read the whole thing, read off each one. But getting back to the Civil War, if there's a 400-year curse on you or you know somebody in your family line, whether it's your mother or grandmother, great-grandmother, then you ask, and they're dead, the person's dead, now you ask the Lord to forgive your ancestors for whatever sin, and then ask him to remove the curse from you.
Seems like there's a lot of work to do in our generation, beings that we're the end age, and we've got to do a lot of house cleaning.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And while you mentioned house cleaning, let's hit that topic here.
Okay.
There are many, many objects. We have one of our articles in our index is house cleaning under H, and it's just a partial list of things that we suggest that you get rid of that we know harbor demons.
Mm-hmm.
It's number 63, house cleaning, get rid of it. Owls, frogs, hearts, dolls, unicorns, statues, and more. And a demon's first choice is to inhabit a human being. They like it warm. Our blood is warm. That's just what they like. Their second choice is a warm-blooded animal, a dog, a cat, or whatever. They don't like snakes, I guess. But they're perfectly happy in dwelling in a home or an object, like a candle, your frog soap dish that you've got over in your kitchen sink there. And so when you're wanting to be serious about deliverance, you have to be serious. You can't go halfway. And again,
right.
It's back to origin of things and things that we know possibly, not saying they do, but possibly could be harboring demons, like candles. I know deliverance ministers got candles in their home. I ain't going to have no candles around here. And our article on candles is just a short article, and the reason why we put it on our website is the information came from a former witch doctor over in Africa, and he was saying that they use the candles to call up demons. And
wow.
for some reason, scented candles bring up a more powerful demon. And, you know, so people say, well, you know, matter of fact, tonight, I got an email just tonight. People, a person was asking about the menorah, you know, the Jewish menorah candlestick thing. And I said, well, the Bible, again, here's kind of goes with the word possessed in the King James Bible and now almost all other Bibles. And candles is in the Bible, but they didn't have candles back in the time of Jesus in the Bible days. They weren't invented yet. They didn't use them. They used oil and oil lamps. So the real menorah, if they had one way back then, I don't know if they do. I don't know anything about that, were oil lamps. Okay, so modern technology, or not modern technology, but candles is just easier to do than oil. But any place the Bible says candles, you should scratch that out and change it to oil. And when it says candlestick, change it to oil lamp or something to do with oil.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what they use. King James put a lot of things in there.
Just letting you know, we do have a caller. Did you want to finish up your...
I guess that pretty much covers that. Candles, let's stay on this just a minute. When you get rid of the objects, if you're having problems, getting rid of the object could get rid of the problem. Deliverance involved, but you do deliverance anyhow. I wrote an email tonight reminding this woman. She was talking about when she was a teenager or a young kid, she collected a lot of frogs. Okay, 20 years ago, we met a woman, and she told us a story. She was in bed dying of cancer. The doctors just sent her home. She was going to be dead at any minute of severe cancer. A deliverance minister, I don't know where she was. She must have been local, but because she traveled to see this woman. And God told this deliverance minister, she said, I want you to go over to so-and-so, and you tell her that if she gets rid of all the frogs and the owls in her home, that I will heal her. Well, the deliverance minister didn't know nothing about this. You know, she's just doing what God told her to do. So she went to the woman's house, and I don't know if she was able to open the door or someone else opened the door. I don't remember. But she had owls and frogs. You know, when people have collections, they got stuff all over the place. You know, it's just, and if it's demonic, they're going to have a collection, like paisley print. You can get furniture now with paisley print pattern. Paisley is a no-no. That's another subject. Anyhow, so the woman said, look, I'm going to be dead here before you know it, and I'm going to do them. Packed up all the frogs and the owls, or the two things, macrame stuff and statues, and got all out of the house. We talked to that woman 15 years after that happened, when she was supposed to be dead 15 years early, just by getting rid of her owls and frogs.
Praise God. Great story. Okay, so we're going to take Sator. Sator, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. How are you doing, Belle?
Okay, go ahead. Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Go ahead.
Well, I had something happen a couple months ago, and I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it because it was, you know, I've been on the walk for several years now, and this was the most intense thing I've ever experienced. My daughters, who are 15 and 10, well, my 15-year-old, she's the one I mentioned earlier who is very oppressed. I mean, she constantly, you know, my wife and I are divorced now, so, you know, they're living, you know, not with me, and she's constantly seeing little black shadows here and there, you know. She'll go into her room, she'll see it, and it'll disappear, and, you know, it bothers me because, you know, there's nothing I can do to go and confront it, you know, for her.
Is this girl living with you?
No, she's living with her mother.
Okay.
I see him every other weekend, but, you know, that's in 2 weeks' time, there's a lot of waywardness that can go on, so.
Right.
But she was over about a month or so ago, and her and my 10-year-old, and I asked her about, you know, what she'd been seeing and how it's been, you know, because I've been telling her, you need to pray, you need to get on your knees at nightly and pray, you know, and just to get this, you know, away from her and just to protect herself. And she suggested praying right then. You know, and I'm down with that. I have no problem with that. And my 10-year-old, who was taking a nap at the time, she got up, which just, you know, is unusual for her. Once she usually lays down, she's out for the night. But she woke up and came over. I'm like, we're going to pray. Do you want to join us? She's like, yeah. So we all sit down, join hands, and start praying. And now, when she was here, as soon as she came in, you could just feel the air get thick. Mm-hmm. She brought something with her, definitely. You know, and I've been struggling with a few things, so I knew something was here, and then she brings it, and it's just like a big party for the enemy.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, let's pray on this and try to get rid of these things, you know. So, you know, we pray, and while I'm doing it, my 15-year-old, she starts shaking, kind of like shivering, like, you know, if you ever been in a place where it's cold and you get that shiver that's like coming right from the core of your body.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that. And she was shaking. My 10-year-old was fine, but, you know, my 15-year-old, she said she opened up her eyes. And in between us, she said she seen a black swirling right in between us, and she felt two hands pressing down on her.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where she couldn't even hear what I was praying. She could just hear mumbling, you know, from the enemy. And so, you know, we go through it, and then I always wrap up prayers with the Lord's Prayer. It's a kind of good exclamation point on the whole thing. And we got done, and the air felt lighter, but it's still something was there. I'm like, let's pray again. So we start, and the Lord put it in me to break the contracts and to, you know, just break any generational curse that there could be. So I threw that in there. I started breaking out contracts, and while this is going on, my daughter's shaking, you know, pretty severely now. Nothing to the point where, you know, I was very worried about it. I knew she had something that she was struggling with. But right towards the end of that prayer, in the corner of the room, there was an incredibly loud hiss.
Mm.
I mean, like from a compressor, like, you know, when you blow up your tires or something, just a loud hissing sound. Never heard that. It's not something that normally would happen. There's nothing in the corner that would do that. You know, my 10-year-old and I, we both looked over. My, you know, 15-year-old, she didn't hear a word or hear a thing from it. She couldn't, again, she could not hear anything that was being said. Just, it was like her ears are muted to us. And with that, once we got done, the air definitely felt lighter. So I think that the hissing was probably whatever influence or oppression, whatever enemy it was that was, you know, being a problem for that evening, was just kind of yelling at us and leaving. But, you know, would you say that was accurate, or what would be your take on it?
Well, after tonight, you know that what you should have done first was commanded that demon to leave in the name of Jesus. And teach your daughters about deliverance and spiritual warfare, because you can pray and pray and pray. You don't need to be on your knees. But that demon ain't going if you don't command him to leave in the name of Jesus. Again, I'll repeat what I said before, that praying is you asking Jesus to do something, and deliverance and spiritual warfare is you doing it in the name of Jesus, as Jesus commanded us to do. So, but the hissing sound, that's very typical. For whatever reason, they like to show up like snakes. A lot of times people going through deliverance will start crawling around on the floor just like a snake. And that, so you would, that's probably but that was a demon he was listening to.
That sounded like a Kundalini.
That's very possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your daughter, see, because of the environment that your daughter's living over there with your ex, if your daughter is really saved, then she has the power to. She can't get rid of the demons in the house. Since the house is owned by her mother or somebody else that's living there, but she needs for protection in the room, like say her bedroom, whatever her private area is, she needs to be doing spiritual warfare, cover herself with the blood of Jesus, anoint her room and her bed with oil. You could even anoint the house. That would torment the demons. But often she needs to bind the demons up in the mom and anybody else that's in that house. Again, that's just temporary. That would give her some relief. But if anything pops up again, like you mentioned her saying things, she has the authority, and all she got to do is just look at that thing and just command it to leave in the name of Jesus. There's no age limit on getting rid of demons. And I'll tell you about this one story, since it kind of has to do with what you're talking about. We got a call from a friend out on the West Coast, and I believe it was her five-year-old daughter. She said this man in the red suit would pop up into her room, into her bedroom, and didn't try and do anything, but the thing just popped up. And so she asked us, well, you know, what do you think the name of that demon is? I said, well, it don't matter, but I would call it the man in the red suit. So so we told her that, and sure enough, here comes the man in the red suit, and the five-year-old told that man in the red suit to leave in the name of Jesus, and it left, and it's never been back.
Wow.
A five-year-old that has the knowledge of using the name Jesus from the parent.
Yeah.
You know, kids are pretty much on their own once they reach a certain age, but they have, you know, every child needs to have the knowledge of deliverance. And I get the email from teens who are living at home, and they're saved, but the parents are not. And I tell them, you do spiritual warfare against your parents. I got one just the other day I'm assuming a young girl. She says, my parents are Satanists, and me and my brother are living here. And so I told them, do spiritual warfare against your parents. You know, they're going to do everything they can to turn you into a Satanist or whatever. And teens or anybody, any child that can use the name Jesus, you go to an elementary school, they should bind up all the demons and the teachers and the other students for protection. I mean, it's just crazy, but the power of the blood of Jesus and just the name of Jesus is just amazing, but you have to use it.
Now, how, as far as I have, and my 15-year-old has, and now my 10-year-old has just recently had a dream, that doesn't, I mean, it's almost as if it is demonically driven. How often do they give you dreams?
Well, they can do it every night if you're not taking action about it. On our website, our number one article there, Spiritual Warfare Prayers, there's a prayer in there for dreams you should pray before you go to bed. It's to protect you against demonic attack. Now, humans can get into your dreams, too. We talked about humans popping into your bedroom. They can also get into your dreams. So part of that prayer is that you're protecting yourself from anybody that's trying to get into your dreams. I pray that every night before I go to sleep. It's just something you should do automatic, even if you're dozing off in the chair someplace.
Yeah, because she called me the other night just bawling, and she had a dream, and basically the whole thing ended with, you know, her sister and I saying, you know, she was in school saying, "Mind, we have to go. You have to come with us." And she said that we walked outside and there was people walking around, but they didn't. It's like they didn't have anything that they were doing. They're just like wandering. And just as we got to the car, her sister and I turned around and said, "You know, you can't hide from us." You know, and that, you know.
Well, now, another thing that I tell people when they ask me about dreams, is, look, I don't interpret dreams. If God gave you a dream, he will give you the interpretation. But if God doesn't give you interpretation and it wasn't a demonic dream, then it was just a dream. You know, everybody dreams. They say, you know, we don't remember it most of the time, but it's just a dream. So it's just, you know, demonic is going to be something evil. And a dream from God is going to be something godly. Otherwise, it's just a dream.
Yeah, that's why I pretty much get the feeling like if I remember a dream very, very clearly, that I know it was from one or the other, that it wasn't just my mind wandering around, that it was put there. You know, whether it, you know, if it was a good dream, then I know it was from the Lord. But you know, a lot of times I've had bad dreams. I know, you know, that wasn't anything from the Lord. Actually, I kind of look at that as almost a the enemy introducing himself. You know, because it seems like once I have a dream like that, I get a different feeling in, you know, around me. So I have to kind of work with whatever it is that's, you know, coming around. I have to kind of try to pray on it and get rid of it. So,
you know, Sator, I was thinking, you know, while you were talking, and I was thinking about your daughter, and I don't know if you would agree with, I'm sure you probably would agree, Stan, but you can utilize the angels, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're there, and if we need them, we can ask the Lord to send us angels, warrior angels, ministering angels, and I thought maybe that would be helpful if you maybe had your daughter ask the Lord for some angels as well.
Oh, yeah, believe me. I think heaven's probably opened up a whole new department for just the angels that I request for my girls and myself.
Right.
I'm definitely prayed for that a lot. So, well, I appreciate the advice and the very informative show. It's a lot of things that I can start putting to use. And
now, go to our website there and learn a whole bunch more.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate it.
All right, Sator, God bless you.
You too. See y'all later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So we've got about 13 minutes here, and I'm thinking we could do a salvation call and maybe have some anything pleading on your head that you're in your mind you want to get out. We'll go ahead and do that and then lead some prayer. And if somebody is feeling the urge from God or he's knocking on your heart, we're going to go ahead and help lead you into prayer, into salvation. What do you think there, Stan?
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, why don't you go ahead and do that?
All right.
Unless you do a long one, I'm a very short, I don't believe in long prayers. So all my prayers are real short and to the point because God knows what we already need.
Right.
It's your time, whatever method you. We basically hit this when we first got started. My method is to make it real simple. If you were to die right now, do you want to go to heaven or hell? It's that simple. Most people will say, "Yeah, I want to go to heaven." All right, then repeat this prayer. Do a short prayer and say, "Okay, now you died right now, you're going to heaven." But, you know, sin cannot get into heaven. This is another subject, a touchy subject, too, about once saved, always saved. But God, the Bible is very clear. Let's just do this one right now. This is important for every believer that has wrong knowledge. The Bible says that a thief will not go to heaven, period, unless you repent. It says a liar. How many lies have you told? You know, the telephone rings and your husband says, or somebody says, "Well, that's for me. Tell him I'm not here." "Well, I'm sorry, he's not here." You lied. If a meteor comes down, crashes into your house and kills you, you're going to hell. The Bible says that because it says a liar will not go to heaven. Now, we all know that any sin is forgiven by the Holy Spirit, is forgiven except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which that's another subject. I need to hit that real quick, too. So see, if you are really saved, if a person is really saved, as soon as they make a mistake, whether they curse or do stuff, what we call sin, the Holy Spirit's job is to knock on your little heart there and say, "You ought not to have done that. You ought not to say that." And so you immediately, "Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for doing that." If you don't get that knock on your heart, you're not saved because the Holy Spirit's not there reminding you because they... Nobody wants you to go to hell. You know, God don't, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, don't want you to go to hell. So you get that little nudge to for you to say the right stuff. But see, the false teaching is, well, once you get saved, that's it. You know, the Bible's clear. Thief ain't getting there. Liar ain't getting there. There's a whole list. That's just, the point is that sin cannot get to heaven. So every time you pray, you should even pray like King David prayed. I ask the Lord to forgive me of my unknown sins. because you might have done something that was a sin and you don't even know that it was a sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you got a government pen at home, you stole a pencil. That's stealing. So, you know, certain things you got to take care of. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I've heard so many stories about this. The Bible is very clear what Jesus said, the unpardonable sin, as we would call it, is. The scripture. Jesus is casting demons out of somebody. The wacko higher-ups, the pastors of
There's
the day,
yeah,
said,
right.
You're casting demons out by Beelzebub.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then there's a couple more scriptures, and then Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said that blasphemy or of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now,
mm-hmm.
you've got to put all the scriptures together in that one little section there. What was Jesus doing? He was doing deliverance. He was accused of doing deliverance by the devil. That is what the unpardonable sin is. Not, I did this, I said that. You know if you've done it. And so that would be anybody listening to us right now who don't really know what they're talking about, and they say, yeah, they're casting demons out by Beelzebub. That's the unpardonable sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in my 24 years, I actually had that said to me by a pastor, and he dropped dead at the pulpit some years
mm-hmm.
later. And I was helping one of his sheep, because he wasn't doing deliverance. I was helping one of his sheep, and I just mentioned, like I've already told you, everybody has demons, no exceptions. Even your pastor's got demons. And he called me up. He said, "What are you trying to do? Tell me I got demons?" I said, "Well, you do." And then he says, "Would you have demons?" I said, "Everybody does. I get rid of all the ones I know about." He says, "Well, then if you say you got demons and you're casting out demons, then you're casting out demons by Beelzebub, the unpardonable."
What?
Yeah, that's what he told me. That he used the exact words out of the Bible. And
that don't
dead,
even make sense.
And he's dead today.
Wow.
Well, see, when demons get in people, they do everything they can to change the subject or make you sound like you're nuts or to get you
mm-hmm.
to stop doing deliverance, stop doing spiritual warfare.
Right.
The more you do, the better things you get. Well, I'm thinking about it. You can get to heaven without ever going through deliverance. You do not need to get demons cast out of you to make it to heaven. The only requirement is that you got Jesus in your heart. There's no sin in your life when you die. The only requirement. But you do deliverance because it makes your life down here so much better. That's the whole purpose. And it gives you a closer walk with the Lord, and everybody should want that.
Exactly, exactly. And who doesn't want more spiritual health? I mean, amen to that. That's the thing. So, yeah, we're down to 7 minutes. I would love to have you back anytime, you know.
Anytime. I'm going to need a couple of days.
We blew through 2 hours like nothing.
Yeah. Well, see, that's how it goes when you're – I could go on all night long if my voice would hold up when you're
mm-hmm.
talking about things like this. Now, the – I don't know if I should tell you this online or not. Maybe I'll send you an email about it. Yeah, okay. I'll tell you about an email about it. So for the next time, you'll know what to do.
Okay.
I'll send you an email. Tell you about that.
Okay.
It has to do with the demons wanting to use up all the time, so you can't get into more subjects.
Mm,
okay.
Right.
All right. Okay, so what's man, I need a throat lozenge.
I do have a quick question, and this
okay,
is just
go.
for my personal knowledge. In the Old Testament, you know, you're aware of the salt covenant between God and his children, and I've heard two different sides of the coin on salt, and one is
salt. You're saying S-A-L-T?
Yeah, salt.
Okay.
That witches use it and it's evil.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also hear, well, I don't know what it was, but the Lord led me, and I mean that, he led me into blessing my home, and I blessed the salt in Jesus' name, and I went to the four corners and I cast out all all evil presences in this home, and I put, you know, I anointed the home, and I went to all four corners of the house, and that house was so comfortable to live in afterwards. It worked. So if it worked, how could it be evil if people are saying, well, the occult and witches, and they use salt in you know, their chanting and their whatever they do. So what's your take on that real quick?
Well, my take in, I would never do it. Now,
really?
I have never, ever heard anything, any salt used other than by witches. That's just what they use. I wouldn't do that, but, you know, if it worked for you, now that's something, you know, it's like the box. I know the box works, but I would never, ever try with salt, mainly because of the knowledge I have that it is specifically used by witches, and I don't even know why. I've heard it way back when. Well, get a pinch of salt and throw it over your shoulder for good luck.
Right. I heard that.
Yeah, well, the word
too.
Luck comes from the word Lucifer, so you should never use the word luck anyhow. I don't know. It's like candles. I am not going to have any, but I don't know.
You know, see, what he led me in was you know, I studied the salt covenant and what it meant.
I had never
heard
of the salt covenant, but I will look it up.
Okay, maybe I could share that with you in personal time, but anyway. So we've got about 4 minutes left, and this has been an absolutely wonderful show. Thank you so much, and we've got to hear from your wife more next time.
Yeah. Well, she's doing fine, but she's a Mary Kay consultant, and she had to go make a delivery, and then when she picked up the phone, I kept getting this buzzing for some reason. She's right here. She closes out in prayer or do a quick salvation prayer. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful. Let's do that.
I'm going to do a quick salvation to get people saved. I only got a couple minutes, and then end in prayer.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Quick salvation prayer is just simple and easy. Father, forgive me for all my sins. Jesus, cleanse me in your blood and save my soul. And I cry out to you. I believe you're the Son of God. You were crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again from the dead. And you are seated at the right hand of the Father, and I call on your name as the Word of God says, and I am saved in Jesus' name.
That's longer than I would have done, but
yeah. See, it's just that simple, and simplicity is bliss. You know, you don't need to get into some big, long, drawn-out 3-hour prayer to be saved. It's real simple. If God's knocking on your heart, answer the door. It's that simple. So, wonderful stuff, and we've got 2 minutes. I'm going to let you go ahead, and if there's any last thoughts in your mind, to go ahead and do that. And by the way, this is for those latecomers tonight, this is Stan and Elizabeth Madrick. Is that right, Madrick?
Madrick.
Okay, I wasn't sure on the pronunciation.
Yeah.
Their website is demonbuster.com. Excellent source.
Okay, now that's a singular demon buster. If you put an S at the end of it, that's a Chinese Chinese search engine.
Oh, okay. Good to know there.
Yeah.
So,
well, I get a lot of people saying about you, that's a terrible website you got. Like, well, you're in the wrong place.
All right. So that's, demonbuster.com.
Will this 2 hours be on your website someplace in an archive for other people who want to?
This will be ready for archived in about 10 minutes when I end the show, and it will be ready. You could download it right to your computer.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I'll send you that link, too. I just got my 90-second buzzer. I'm going to throw some music on. Listen, Stan and Elizabeth, God bless each of you, and keep up your godly work. Love it. Great website. I really encourage you guys to get over to demonbuster.com. All right, this is Val Villano, Holy Living Ministry. Look for me Thursday night, 6 to 8 Pacific time. And God bless everybody.
Like a hurricane, I am. am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh,